As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air, baby. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Thursday, November the 3rd, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live as we do Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name's still William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. You can find the solutions in here. We'll be lucky. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're most certainly not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular. And it remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio, of course, is the name of the game to be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call that at area code 512-904-8014. Join me live on air and from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. You also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStreamLive.com, all carrying the broadcast this morning. Thank you for doing so. Our calling number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals spike skyward. Fed Reserve and Draghi offering no solutions. Crude oil continues to gain on the Keystone Pipeline controversy, and the U.S. dollar index weakens. All that in the market report this morning. No consensus amongst the Joint Select Committee. That's right. Deadline nearing. Chocolate, chocolate. Yeah, it's going to get cheaper like that, too. That's all in the news basket. Of course, we'll go back in and close out our discussion of administrative law, legal positivism a little bit on today's broadcast as well, manufacturing, mercantilism, money. We'll talk about all that in the second hour. Let's go into our market report for this morning. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time finds gold trading up $24.70 at $1,762.10 a troy ounce. Silver this morning up 52 cents at $34.79 an ounce. Platinum up 36 bucks at $1,637 an ounce. And palladium up 20 at 670 buckaroonies. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, a widespread shaping up, $1,722 for a low, $1,763.50 for a high, but at $1,762.10, your gold was up $404.90 an ounce. Wow. A 29.83% return on your investment year to year. The London Gold Fix this morning, your London Bullion Market Association, LBMA.org, there you set the price at $1,732.50, and well, it was a good price. It just didn't hold. Went right above that by 30 bucks. The SBDR gold shares, that'd be your World Gold Council. It's your Rothschilds. Paulson is in there heavy. Anyway, the SBDR gold shares this morning show over, unchanged overnight at 1,243.55 metric tons. As they take the freeze frame as we move closer to 11 of 11. It's valued this morning, however, at $69.6 billion at these spot prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed up 178 at 11,836, and all that and much more to come. Stay tuned.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Thursday, November the 3rd, 2011, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back into our market report for this morning, where we found at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, gold draining up $24.70 an ounce at $1,762.10, silver up 52 cents at $34.79, platinum up 36 bucks at $16.37, and palladium up 20 at $670. Altogether, a really good green day starting out for the precious metals. The Dow Jones Industrial Average again yesterday closed up set 178 at 11,836. The NASDAQ closed up 33 at 2640. S&P 500 closing up and ending the day at 1,238. Crude oil this morning up $1.10. A barrel at $93.61 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered as they are, West Texas Intermediate at the Cushing Hub in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning off 36 basis points, not getting the kind of support they need out of the Federal Reserve, not getting what they need out of Draghi either in the European Central Bank. Nevertheless, off 36 basis points this morning at 76.72, which helped out the foreign exchange rates this morning. The Canadian loonie and our trade-weighted basket of currencies in the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement bumps up 66 at 99 cents as the Canadian loonie struggles to regain parity with the U.S. dollar. The Mexican peso, grindingly hard, rounding up hard, up 143%. 1.43%, I should say, or 143 basis points at 8 cents U.S. Just barely had to really grind hard with the numbers there. The euro this morning up 27 basis points at $1.38. The British pound up 57 at $1.60. And that Swiss franc up 18 basis points again at $1.13 U.S. The bond market, the yield on the two-year treasuries, the U.S. bonded indebtedness, is at 0.23% for all you bond traders out there. The 10-year, the benchmark, at 2.06%, and the 30 at 3.10. In the mortgage pit for our realtors this morning and home buyers and sellers, the 15-year fixed rate national average mortgage moves up again from 4.03% to 4.405% as it continues this upward trend lately. The 30-year moves up as well from 3.35% to 3.37%. And your gold to silver ratio, it'll take you 50.66 ounces of silver to bring home 1 ounce of gold. And in the futures, the Dubai Gold Future this morning also reflecting this upward tick in the gold at $1,766. The last sale there up $28.20 for a 1.62% bump in the Dubai futures. Now, into the economy calendar we go. Lots of activity yesterday. Many things came out in the afternoon. Of course, the chairman's press conference. That would be Benjamin Shalom. And we will go to some of his discussion. The FOMC meeting announcement came out as well yesterday, long after the broadcast had ended. The EIA petroleum status report was out as well. You might as well pick that one up. That's interesting to look at. And then today there's the jobless claims. We'll go there tomorrow. We'll end out the week with the employment situation, and Daniel Tarullo is going to speak. So there's still more to come impacting the marketplace during the week. Let's see what we got here for jobless claims, however, and go right there. All right, here it is, opened up. Highlights, jobless claims continue to come down, but ever so slowly. Initial claims fell 9,000 in the October 29th week to 397,000. Well, that's pretty good news. It's under 400,000 for the first time in a while. It's a decline partly offset by a 4,000 upward revision to the prior week to 406,000. So, again, you just have to take these numbers with a grain of salt because they always are changed. They're never fixed. Nothing's fixed. They're just guessing, or they've got a real slow trickle. You would think with nanosecond trading on the marketplace, they'd be able to get this information together a little quicker, but it's never that way. The four-week average is slowly approaching the 400,000 level, down 2,000 in the week to 404,500. This level is more than 10,000 lower than the month-ago comparison and offers a moderately positive indication for the October employment report. So, again, we've got everybody back in school, all the teachers, the substitute teachers, all of the bus drivers, all the people that tweak and fiddle away on buses and school buses, and the gas station attendants and everybody else is happy with school, and that is helping probably to buoy up an otherwise stagnant economy. Continuing claims and data for the October 22nd week fell 15,000 to 3.683 million. With the four-week average down 10,000 to 3.704 million people on continuing claims on unemployment, all right? It's a gob in a bunch. That's a lot of houses. You just run the multiplier there, husband and wife, all of their children, no haircuts. You know, they're not going out and packing their faces full of burgers and pizzas and things like that. They're probably not going to sports games. They're probably not filling up the jalopy as often with gasoline and diesel. And so as a result, all of that impacts and trickles all around the economy with 3.70 million people unemployed. That's not a good thing. The unemployment rate for insured workers is unchanged at 2.9%. There are no special factors in the data which point to improvement, however slow in the job market. So not looking too good. Let's continue along. Productivity and costs. Productivity picked up strength in the third quarter on healthier output. And again, remember, the productivity in manufacturing and in work in general is impacted by machinery. And the more machinery you have and the more things that you put computers to work on, the less manpower you need. And so productivity can look better even when fewer people are employed. Non-farm business productivity, remember, they always segregate out the farmers. The farmers just keep going 365 days a year. It don't make any difference whether it's raining, sleeting, hailing, or snowing. farmers are more reliable than even the mail service. They have to get out there and milk those cows, and there ain't no two ways about it. Bessie can't wait. Non-farm business productivity rebounded an annualized 3.1% in the third quarter after dipping 0.1% in the previous quarter. The market expectation was for a 2.5% boost for the third quarter. Output component improved to 3.8% from 1.8% in the second quarter. Hours worked increased in an annualized 0.6% after a 2.0% rise the prior quarter. Unit labor costs fell an annualized 2.4%. All that together, basically, the productivity report is favorable towards a continuation of growth in corporate profits with output and labor costs down. But the negative is that businesses are still reluctant to hire. So although it doesn't look too bad, there's still a lack of hiring. The EIO, as I like to call it, Petroleum Status Report, oil inventories rose 1.8 million barrels in October to 339.5 million barrels on hand. So they've filled up all the little pots and pans and everything that they could fill up. All the gas cans are nicely lined up full of gas. And they've got a bunch of gas and not many people at the gas station. Gasoline inventories rose 1.4 million barrels in the week, reflecting rising production and falling demand. Falling demand. Underline that. Falling demand. You got to have two sides to every sale. You can have all the product in the world, but if you don't have buyers, you don't have sales. So that's all there is to it. Corzine, or Corzini as I like to call him, Corzine's lack of MF global controls exposed with missing customer money. And the story continues and heats up. We'll be right back.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So, of course, we don't want to find out what happened to the trillions that went missing under Jorge's watch, you know. I mean, Cheney had to pay the PNAC boys with something, and, you know, you just don't buy thousands and thousands of acres in Paraguay for nothing, you know. So, well, we don't talk about those trillions, and we don't look at all the trillions in spending over in the near and the Middle East. But, you know, anyway, we'll focus on Corzine here. Why not? He's close at hand. Let's beat him up. And let's do some more of that right now. Matthew Leisen and Donald Griffin writing this one, continuing from Bloomberg. The day it filed for Chapter 11 protection, the New York-based MF Global, boy, what a fitting name that is, disclosed a shortfall in customer accounts that people with knowledge of the matter say may be about $700 million. The CME Group, remember, they're the ones that mess around with the gold market over there. We've talked about them before, changing the margin requirements. CME Group said yesterday, which has the authority to audit those accounts, it didn't know how much money a client money was missing. And anyway, it's a long article. I'm not going into it any further. It's just a bunch of pilfering bandits. Somebody's got to get spanked, and I guess it's Corzine's term. The EU might halt carbon market to sort out economic crisis. Well, that's good news. After all, the king is butt naked. I guess we're not going to sell very many carbon credits now. Matthew Carr writing this one. There's a risk the European Union might halt its carbon market, the world's biggest, while it sorts out the bloc's economic and political problems. You can't eat carbon. You can't wear carbon either. You can't ride around in carbon. And it is a lot like the king's clothes. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it. You took all the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, as some people say, and I don't know that it's true. If you were to compare the universe, or at least our atmosphere, with a football field, and you stood a dime up down there on the whatever yard line, all the carbon in the atmosphere would be about the size of the ground that's covered by the edge of that dime. Well, they're not doing too well. Anyway, the main issue is the problem of runaway effect to other periphery countries that could lead to the breakup of the Eurozone as we now know it, leading to the emissions trading system halt until EU governments manage to sort out their more urgent economic problems. So I guess climate change isn't quite urgent enough to put it on the forefront. They're just going to back burner that one until the people get stupid enough to listen once again. Labrador said today by email, quote, the probability of this event is no longer negligible. Taking Greece out of the carbon market, God, would marginally reduce the program's surplus because the nation's emissions have dropped so much. Greece itself is immaterial for the carbon market, and we might add that the carbon market itself is immaterial in the face of war and everything else. But here's a little bit of sense in a very short article. Hydropower makes Australian utility ratings resilient, the S&P says. Hydropower. Zoe Schneeweiss. Writes this one briefly for Bloomberg. Standard & Poor's rating services say the rating of Australian utilities have proven to be resilient. Quote, here's the quote, a high share of environment-friendly hydropower assets of regulated cash flows and the bulk of activities in an economically strong region are helping Australia's rated utilities withstand the harsher utility market environment in Europe that has led to downgrade among many of their peers. What are they saying? hydropower is a good thing. It's environment-friendly hydropower. Makes you wonder, why are they attacking the hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River? If they are so environmentally friendly, why would the Environmental Protection Agency be concerned? They should be laudatory. They should be running it up on a banner, holding it up on a standard, see what we can do on the Klamath River. But no, they don't like hydropower on the Klamath River. But we do, and we're going to follow that story. I had a long conversation yesterday with Kirk McKenzie. Hope to have him back and some of the other people from the area soon. Republican group of 40 joins Democrats in backing U.S. revenue increases. James Rowley and Heidi Prisbyla writing this one collaboratively for Bloomberg. Group of 40. The Republican group of 40 sounds like a gang to me. 40 House Republicans signaled support. That's almost a busload. 40 House Republicans signaled support for revenue increases, joining 60 Democrats. Let's see, that would make 100. That's one-fifth. Yesterday, to urge a congressional super committee seeking a $1.5 trillion debt reduction aim for cuts of $4 trillion. Anyway, kind of a clumsy first sentence there. You would think with two people writing, they could get it sweeter than that. The letter signed by the 100 lawmakers demonstrates possible Republican support for revenue increases that have been a sticking point for the bipartisan 12-member debt reduction panel. Boy, they're close. They're close. It's the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. All right? Let's just say it right. So confusing with all these other names associated with it. Anyway, continuing, any deficit reduction plan has to be balanced. Idaho Republican Representative Mike Simpson said at a news conference, choosing a word often used by House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi of California, balanced, to describe the kind of deficit reduction package that she and fellow Democrats would favor. Simpson, a member of the House Appropriations Committee, wouldn't say how much new revenue should be added. Where did they get it? The new revenue? Oh, that's right. Taxes. Taxes. Taxes going up. What are we going to say to the super committee is that certainly revenue has to be a part of this, and there are different ways that you get that revenue. That's right. You can bend them over the fence post. Well, we better not go there. It's a morning show. The committee is approaching a November the 23rd deadline for reaching a deal. And if the panel, see, once they say committee, then they say the panel, then they say the super committee, then they say, if the panel can't agree or if Congress doesn't adopt its recommendations, across-the-board spending cuts of $1.2 trillion to defense and domestic programs would take effect in 2013. There's a lot of talk about pledges, Ohio Republican Representative Steve Lottery said, referring to a non-binding commitment many Republicans have signed not to support tax increases. It's time to put the pledges in a bonfire. Well, it's that time of the month. You know, yesterday, the Day of the Dead, Halloweeny, bonfire time all over England. With the deadline looming, the panel's Republican members met yesterday in private with House Speaker John Boehner of Ohio and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Afterwards, the participants declined to describe their discussions or say whether the Republicans are weighing a new proposal to offer to Democrats. Quote, I wouldn't want to say, but you can count the days. To the super committee's deadline, said Senator John Kyle of Arizona, the number two Republican leader, and a member of the special panel. So they've got a deadline, and that deadline is November the 23rd, and that deadline is approaching. So let's go to the next one. Here's Benjamin Shalom. Yes, he did speak yesterday, and when Benny speaks, no one listens. Bernanke gives impetus to new stimulus. New stimulus. Like a butt plug. Scott Landman and Carolyn Salas-Gage writing this one. Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom signaled additional monetary stimulus may be needed to lower U.S. unemployment as policymakers projected little acceleration in growth after last quarter's pickup. Well, you've got to be kidding us. With all of the stimulus they've thrown in already, it doesn't seem to make a dent in the unemployment. But that's what they say, so I guess we have to run with it. Potential actions are on the table. Please, don't show us what you're doing on the table, Benny, including a third round of securities purchases. Securities purchases, let's see, that would be stocks and bonds. extending the period of record low interest rates or being more specific about when rates would rise? Well, I guess he's got a couple of tools, but mostly he's firing blanks.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights. FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly, worldwide, in discreet packaging, and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Announcement Man. That's Jeff Thomas, yeah. Did you hear that commercial? They said spice things up in the bedroom? Wow. Howard Stern, Bubba the Love Sponge. I mean, I can help use all the help I can get here this morning. Anyway, once again, Bernanke gives impetus to the new stimulus program. There's not much being said here. But if you want to know why everything's going up, well, it's because there wasn't much said here. And that's important. Bernanke warned that the economic improvement will probably be frustratingly slow. Frustratingly slow. Economic improvement will probably be frustratingly slow. And gold this morning was up 24.70 at 17.62 and screaming. Anyway, we'll see where it goes by the end of the day, but things are going to be pretty much frustratingly slow, according to the Bernanke. And he ought to know because he's with the Fed, and they know everything. Euro's leaders question the Greek membership. All right, Greece is not out of the woods yet. James Neugert and Simon Kennedy, writing this one collaboratively for Bloomberg, European leaders for the first time raised the prospect of the euro area splintering. forcing debt-stricken Greece to decide whether it's in or out when it holds a referendum on a bailout package next month. If you can believe that. European leaders, for the first time, raised the prospect of the euro area splintering. My gosh, we've been talking about that here on Oracle and elsewhere for a year. maybe this is the first time they ever voiced it publicly, but I'm sure they all had it in their mind. Led by Germany and France, Europe's economic and political anchors, yeah, like boat anchors, the euro's guardians yesterday cut off financial aid for Greece until an early December vote determines whether it deserves a fresh batch of loans needed to stave off the default. The referendum will revolve around nothing less than the question, does Greek want to stay in the euro? Yes or no. So we'll just have to wait to see. I would imagine that the Greeks are probably not interested in the eurozone much longer, not getting any benefit out of it. However, the Keystone Pipeline shouldn't risk Nebraska water, the usurper says. If you can believe it. Well, I guess we should be able to believe it. Jim Oh, come on, Jeff. Anyway, Jim has an interesting name. Jim, interesting name, wrote this one for Bloomberg. Barry Usurper said jobs created by the TransCanada Corporation's planned Keystone XL oil pipeline, we've been following this story, it's quite controversial, wouldn't be worth the health and the safety consequences if a spill contaminated the water supplies. The Usurper commented on the $7 billion project that would carry oil from Alberta to the U.S. Gulf Coast in an interview with the Omaha television station yesterday as Nebraska's state legislature opened a special session considering ways to force a rerouting of the pipeline away from the state's largest aquifer. All right? That's right. They don't want to have the pipeline run right over their water supply, and, you know, that's pretty reasonable. Folks in Nebraska, like all across the country, aren't going to say to themselves, and this is a quote, we'll take a few thousand jobs if it means our kids are potentially drinking water that would damage their health. Well, you wouldn't want unhealthy goats, but that's what he said in an interview from the White House with KETV. Quote, see, it does work. You don't have to fly around all the time, Barry. You can just sit in your room there and talk to people, just like we do here. Maybe we need to get Barry a Skype connection. We don't want, for example, aquifers to be adversely affected. Folks in Nebraska obviously would be directly impacted. So he's appealing to votes, but at least he's saying something correct this morning. The 1,661-mile Keystone XL would deliver 700,000 barrels a day of crude to refineries on the Gulf of Mexico through Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And then all they'd have to do is build a railroad line right alongside of that and then go ahead and throw in all of the DSL lines and then throw in some power lines and then put, you know, a road on either side of the railroad and they'd have the NASCO corridor. Well, get the pipeline in and then build all the rest of the improvements with it. And I guess that's what it looks like to me, shaping up here. State Department, which has jurisdiction over the pipeline because it crosses an international border. How do you like those apples? Administrative law? We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's just say it again. The State Department, which has jurisdiction over the pipeline because it crosses an international border, has said it expects to make its decision by the end of the year. The usurper indicated yesterday that he'll have the final say. Of course, they can't make the decision by the end of the year. It's slowing down the pipeline construction. Unfortunately, they're already digging in the trenches and laying the pipe. They're pretty well bound and determined, as we say here on this broadcast. We need to encourage domestic natural gas and oil production, the usurper said in the interview. Of course, they're not making that at all easy. We need to make sure we have the energy security. What is energy security, Barry? And that we aren't just relying on the Middle East sources. Well, if you're going to have energy security, maybe you're going to need to back off with the trying to knock the dams out of the Klamath River. Actually, they do produce electricity, but there's a way of doing that and making sure the health and the safety of American people and folks in Nebraska. I've got to throw that folks in there. He's kind of a folksy guy, you know, when he's not playing basketball. And folks in Nebraska are protected. And this is all about the Ogallala Aquifer. The pipeline would cross the Sand Hills region of the Ogallala Aquifer, which serves 1.5 million people. The area has a shallow water table and porous sand that makes it susceptible to water contamination, according to John Gates, assistant professor of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. So I think we could probably rely on John Gates here. However, when you go to the universities and look for an expert, say, you know, if you have enough funding behind you, they'll probably say anything they want. But nevertheless, if this is true, and we're talking about a shallow water table and a porous sand that making it susceptible to water contamination, perhaps rerouting the pipeline should have been the right thing to do initially when they were in the planning stages. Well, if there was any good news, here's the good news for today. Cocoa butter seen falling through Christmas as the world glut grows. Now, that just couldn't make my day any happier than to hear Isis Almeida writing this one for Bloomberg, that cocoa butter used to make chocolate will trade 12 to 15% below an August estimate as pre-Christmas demand is too low to ease a world glut caused by increased grindings, a Bloomberg survey shows. Baby, let me know when the prices are dropping because I'm going to go shopping. The cocoa butter price in Europe will be 0.95 to 1.1 times the value of beans traded in London from now until the end of the year, according to the median in a Bloomberg survey of acres. Have you noticed how expensive chocolate for our chocolate rations has become over the past 12 months? Wow. Pretty well priced me out of the market. That compares with a ratio of 1.08 to 1.3 expected in an August Bloomberg survey. The ratio is considered an indication of chocolate demand. Well, the demand is there. The prices were just too high. I'm ready. I want more chocolate. The current stocks of cocoa butter are much higher than the world demand needs it to be. I'm ready. I'm over here in southwest Missouri. I'm waving my hand. You can dump some of that cocoa butter over here. Anyway, they say, said Javier Almila, the chief purchasing officer at a holding company, Natra S.A. in Valencia, Spain, which buys almost 40,000 metric tons of cocoa each year. Well, I don't match that, but I'm ready. Demand for butter ahead of Christmas didn't pick up, and I'd be surprised if it did now. Drop the price. I'll help you out. As much of the chocolate that will hit the stores for the festive season needs to be in production already. Well, European cocoa usage rose 14% in the third quarter to the highest since at least 1999, according to data from the European Cocoa Association. So if you needed some cocoa, there's some cocoa. Rising global grindings are adding to a glut of cocoa butter, which accounts for as much as 20% of a chocolate bar. At a time, demand for chocolate in Europe and the U.S. is stagnant. Went to the grocery the other day, and, you know, as I do, as I pass through that narrow gap, I like to pick up a candy bar. But the prices are unbelievable. 79 cents, 80 cents, $1, $1.20 for a candy bar. No, thank you. I'll do without. Tightens his belt again. Cocoa butter inventories may be as much as 150,000 metric tons, or 15% of the global butter output, according to Stephen Hans, the founder of Commodities Risk Analysis, a cocoa research company based in New York. I'd like to work for them. Maybe they could let me work in the, they could let me work out in the factory, out maybe out on the floor in the storage warehouse. Of course, the shrinkage there would probably go up dramatically. There are only estimates from incomplete information and casual assessments from experienced market participants, Hawes said by email. Those estimates and assessments that I know generally place worldwide butter stocks at about 125,000 to 150,000 metric tons. I think that amount is reasonable. Well, I don't know. When cocoa beans, when cocoa beans are ground, 80% is transformed into cocoa liquor, baby. Sign me up. I'll take a couple bottles of cocoa liquor. You bet.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals, to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com is a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And, of course, the call-in number remains 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in this morning, you're welcome to do so. As we've got a caller here, let's go to the wild card line and say good morning to our caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning to you. You've been talking about the chocolate, and my favorite chocolate bar is the Mr. Goodbar. I love those.
I'm not too special. I'll just think about whatever's closest and the cheapest.
Well, yeah, I mean, my convenience store, they had a little bit of a deal on them the other day. I bought 8 of them. And the thing that, you know, I bought a bag of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for Halloween. I didn't have one person come to my door. But I ate the entire bag that night.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice when the little kitties say, you know, I buy all the candy, put them in a bowl by the door, and then he shut all the lights off.
But you see, in the entire time I've lived, I've never had one trick-or-treater, but the reason I kind of had that in mind when I bought the bag. You
yeah, exactly. Any excuse will do when we're looking for excuses, right?
Yeah, because I'm supposed to be trying to get off the candy and sugar and everything like that, but I felt like that Halloween was a good time for me to, you know, to make a move.
Well, you know, when I want to abuse myself, you know, I will just go out and get some Häagen-Dazs chocolate. It's my favorite ice cream of all. And I like to look at I would rather, you know, instead of buying chocolate bars, what I'd really like to do would be able to get blocks of chocolate. So you could just shave the chocolate and you wouldn't have to go along with the high fructose corn syrup and all the rest of that stuff. Just a nice big block of chocolate, take it out like a block of cheese and just slice awesome chocolate, baby.
Can you do that? Can you buy it that way?
Well, it's hard to find, but yes, so certainly, you know, if you go to like a restaurant supply stores, you know, when you have a big restaurant or somebody that serves like Starbucks coffee, for instance, and they have, you know, they do an espresso and they'll do shaved chocolate as part of a topping with the froth on an espresso, you know? So yeah, you can buy blocks of chocolate, and I like good dark chocolate. Not only is it delightful in taste, but it also is high in oxalic acid, and oxalic acid is a cancer preventer. So if you like a little teaspoon of baking soda in water from time to time and a little bit of nice, rich, dark, natural chocolate, you know, it helps to offset my heavy consumption of cigarettes.
But where would you get that chocolate? I'm interested in that idea, but I don't know where I would go to find it.
Well, if you live in a city, you might try something like, maybe Nordstrom's or the Bon Marché, specialty stores. Maybe like in Seattle around the Pike Place Market, there might be a specialty chocolate place, maybe a baker, for instance. Somebody like that, and you want to just, what you're trying to find would be like a good organic, pure, solid blocks of chocolate.
Okay. Now you're talking a real high end.
Well,
it'd be a very high end item, right?
Well, it's high end, and if you want to think about it from the standpoint of maybe your initial cost, but pound for pound, you're not having any of the additives in it. So you just have to, you know, exercise a little bit of discretion as to how much you shave off of it, but you're only getting pure chocolate, so a little goes a long ways. One of the things that I like to do, because I do recognize the value, nutritional value of chocolate because of that oxalic acid, I like to buy the Hershey Kisses dark chocolate. That's the only one I think that is still made in the U.S. The rest of them are made in Mexico, but they're really expensive these days. But it's just a little blob of real chocolate. It would be just as good to go out and find a source for an organic blocks of chocolate blocks. Maybe someone of the people that actually roast coffee beans and stuff like that, they might go up on the web and try and find sources for that for espresso shops or an espresso cart. They might be able to offer that as part of the, you know, because they make all kinds of liqueurs that you can pour into coffee. They might have blocks of chocolate like that, and you could pick it up. And I wouldn't consider it to be high-end because what you're buying is high quality, and you can use less of it and enjoy the flavor.
But, I mean, it's not something you can walk into a Walmart and pick up.
No, you wouldn't find it in Walmart, no way.
I mean, you're talking about, what's that one? I can't think of it as there's a chain of, like, kind of high-end retail stores that sells food and wine and stuff. Can you think of the name of that?
No, I haven't been around. I haven't been out much, so I really don't know. I live way out in the country, and the only thing around here is a Walmart and a local grocery store.
Okay, yeah, the name slips my mind, but they're supposed to be building one coming into near the town where I live, and they sell a lot of, you know, high-end kind of, you know, wine and stuff like that. So maybe they would have it if they're coming into town.
Yeah, any place that caters to cuisine, high cuisine, gourmet shops, gourmet food shops and things like that, or natural food stores might be able to get it. You know, that kind of a thing, most likely. But as I'm saying from this article, you know, in spring of last year, they were talking about a shortage of beans because of all the droughts that they were having in South Central America and other places. And so, oh, the beans are going to go up and up and up and up. Well, now we see that they've got a glut of beans. And so now over the winter, the prices might fall. And if they do fall, you know, whenever the prices fall, it's a crazy thing about the United States. You know, we always buy high, sell low. I like to do the other one. I like to buy it when it's low and then sell it when it's high. So it's just, you know, six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Well, now, are you familiar with Cadbury Corporation?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you know, but just recently, Kraft Foods is doing a takeover of Cadbury.
Yes, I reported the articles, and they were just... It was a really big news in the Bloomberg website for weeks and months. How did all that turn out?
Oh, it turned out real fine. For you, do you know the name of the CEO of Kraft Foods?
No, tell me.
Irene Rosenfeld.
Does that surprise me? Good night, Irene.
Yeah.
Good night, Irene.
Yeah, the first name don't tell you much, but the last name sure do.
It fills in the blanks, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the JPBs take over everything.
Yeah, anything money can buy, baby.
So when you go into your convenience store and you pick up that Mr. Goodbar. You got to realize half of that money is going into the pocket of Irene Rosenfeld and her friends. But the good news is they donate a nice piece of that to their favorite Jewish charitable organizations.
Well, one of the big questions that I've got, caller, is that, you know, I buy my peanut butter. You know, I try and buy the good stuff, you know, just nothing but peanuts and salt. And so they used to be Adam's Peanut Butter had a good, really good brand of peanut butter that you could buy. But Smucker's bought them up, of course. But you look on the jar of peanut butter and you see the kosher certification. You know you're paying paying money to the rabbi racket for that kosher certification. But my question is what's kosher about peanuts?
Everything is kosher to them. They own everything.
Have you ever been able to buy any products in the grocery that doesn't have a kosher label on it, kosher certification on it? I found several products, but they're really unusual. You have to really look.
That's why I get my peanut butter. I'm fortunate in that I live nearby a town which has a co-op. You know, like a health. They sell a lot of unlabeled, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And they sell peanut butter in, you know, these big vats. It's just natural peanut butter with the oil and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not cheap or anything like that. I haven't actually compared the price. It probably costs it just as much or more than what you buy in the grocery store, but it's 10 times better. And you're not paying, I don't believe, although I could be wrong, but I don't believe you're paying that cut to Irene Rosenfeld. But I could be wrong about that, because they may have their claws into that too.
Well, they might own all the peanut farmers, you know, Jimmy Carter, they bought him up, you know. But one other question, I guess, or one other angle on that peanut butter story is that when I was living out in Seattle, I used to like to go to the food co-op there. It was a big food co-op, and you just go in and you take fresh roasted peanuts and put them in the grinder, bring your own jug, and you could grind your own peanuts, peanut butter, right in front of your eyes. And if you wanted to add in some almonds or something like that, you could have an almond butter or some sesame seed peanut butter. Just make your own blend right there. So anyway, good stuff. Great call. Thank you so much for calling. Keep calling in again, and keep listening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, I'm just so glad that we got a call in regards to that chocolate article. You know, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, a little bit of news, good news helps, and that's kind of good news. I like talking about chocolate and fun things to eat from time to time. You know, lighten it up just a bit on a Thursday. Now let's jump into something a little bit more heady, Economic Harmonies by Frederick Bastiat, his Chapter 8. I don't know if you've ever read Bastiat, and everybody's got a copy of The Law, should probably have a copy of The Law if you don't in your library, and keep it right close to Sun Tzu, and get yourself off to a good start each day by reading a little bit. This edition that I have here is a sixth printing, 2004, but of course Frederick Bastiat lived from 1801 to 1850, and so we lay him right in on top of Henry St. Simon and the positivists out of England. And that's the way that goes. But here, this is Chapter 8. I just want to give you a little bit out of this. Private property and commonwealth. You know, we talk about the commonwealths, commonweal, the wealth of people, the wheel, the happiness, the health of the people. And salus populi, suprema lexesso, is the state motto for Missouri. But we look at it from the standpoint of the wheel, the commonwealth of the people, and private property. Without private property, there can be no freedom. There is no real common wealth. While freely granting to the land, to the forces of nature, and to the tools of production what is their just due, the power of creating utility, I have taken pains to deprive them of what has been attributed erroneously to them, the faculty of creating value, since this faculty resides exclusively in the services that men perform for one another through exchange. I'll give you an idea of the mind of Frederick Bastiat. He writes pretty well, but notice he's bringing in the utilitarian memes as well. This simple correction will at one and the same time strengthen the role of property by redefining it according to its true character and reveal to political economists a fact that of the greatest importance, which, if I'm not mistaken, they will have not noticed, namely that of common ownership constituting a real, essential, and progressively increasing communal domain which develops providentially in any social order that is guided by the principles of liberty. Interesting, huh? Progressively increasing communal domain. Frederick Bastiat, you wouldn't expect it, would you? You know, all of the Christian conservatives and everybody else points to this, the libertarians point to this book and this author, this writer, this thinker, Frederick Bastiat, and his Law as being, you know, the best thing since sliced cheese. But he seems to be a bit of a communalist. Maybe he would be a communitarian. Anyway, continuing along, it says here that if this basic distinction between the utility of things and the value of services is sound in principle as well as in the consequences I've deduced from it, its significance cannot be misunderstood. for it means that the promise of utopia falls within the scope of political economy, and that all conflicting schools of thought will be reconciled in a common faith to the complete satisfaction of all minds and of all hearts. Men of property and of leisure, however high on the social scale your achievements, your honesty, your self-control, your thrift may have carried you, you are still strangely disturbed. Why? Because the sweet-smelling but deadly perfume of utopia threatens your way of life. There are men who say, who rant, that the competency you have laid aside for the quiet of your old age, for your daily bread, for the education and the future of your children, has been acquired at the expense of your brethren. They say that you have stood between God and his gifts to the poor, that like the greedy publicans of old, you have exacted a tribute on these gifts in the name of property, of interest, of rent, and hire. They call upon you to make restitution. To add to your dismay, only too often your own advocates make this implicit admission in coming to your defense that the usurpation is indeed flagrant, but it is necessary. Find out more from Bastiat right after this.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.swissgoldbythegram.com or click on our banner ad on the oraclebroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Verki water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Verki dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Verki guy offers amazing specials for Verki water filtration systems. The Verki light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Verki light system today, complete with two black Verki elements for only $231, and the Verki guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Verki light, the Verki guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Verki guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberki.com. That's goberki.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so back into this discussion of economic harmonies, private property, and the commonwealth. Of course, you know, when you deal with headier writers, you kind of sometimes have to pursue along and not make your opinions quickly. And as we can see, as his paragraphs and chapter begins here, he's starting to change. He's starting to bring around, coming around a little bit. So he proposed something as a premise initially, that seem great. Man, these utopians sound really good. And communal property ownership, that's really, really good. But he continues now and says, but I say no. You've not misappropriated the gifts of God. You've received them gratis from the hand of nature. It is true. But you have also passed them on gratis to your fellow men, and you have withheld nothing. They've acted similarly toward you, and all that has passed between you has been compensation for mental or physical effort, for sweat and toil expended, for dangers faced, for skills contributed, for sacrifices made, for pains taken, for services rendered and received. You thought only of yourself, perhaps, but even your own self-interest has become, in the hands of an infinitely wise and all-seeing providence, an instrument for making greater abundance available to all men. For had it not been your efforts, all the useful effects that nature at your command has transmitted without payment among men would have remained eternally dormant. I say, without payment, for the payment you received was only the simple return to you of the efforts you had expended, and not at all a price levied on the gifts of God. Live, then, in peace, without fear, and without qualms. You have no other property in the world save your claim to services due to your services that you have fairly rendered, and that your fellow men have voluntarily accepted. This property of yours is legitimate, unassailable. No utopia can prevail against it, for it's part and parcel of our very nature. No new ideology will ever shake its foundation or wither its roots. He continues, men of toil and hardship, you can never shut your eyes to this truth, that the starting point for the human race was a state of complete community, a perfect equality of poverty, want, and ignorance. By the sweat of its brow, humanity is regenerated and directs its course towards another state of community, one in which the gifts of God are obtained and shared at the cost of less and less effort, towards equality of another kind, the equality of well-being, of enlightenment, of moral dignity. To be sure, men's steps along the road to a better and better life are not all of equal length, and to the degree that the rapid strides of the advance guard might impede your own, you would have just cause for complaint. But the contrary is the case. No spark of knowledge illumines another mind without casting some small gleam of light upon your own. No progress is achieved by others prompted by the desire for property that does not contribute to your own property. No wealth is created that does not work for your liberation as well. No capital that does not increase your enjoyments and diminish your toil. No property acquired that does not make it easier for you to acquire property. No property created that it is not destined to increase the abundance shared by all. The social order has been so artfully designed by the divine artificer that those who have moved farthest ahead of along the road of progress extend a helping hand, wittingly or unwittingly. For he has so contrived that no man can honestly work for himself without at the same time working for all. It is strictly accurate to say that any attack upon this marvelous order would be on your part not only an act of homicide, but of suicide as well. The whole of mankind constitutes a remarkable chain wherein, miraculously, motion imparted to the first link is communicated with ever-increasing speed right up to the last. And so some people talk about self-sufficiency and self-sufficiency. I maintain self-reliance. Self-sufficiency is a pipe dream. When the settlers moved out across the plains, Kansas, Dorothy, they took with them what they could take in the wagon. And when they arrived at that ford and they arrived at that branch, when they arrived at that location, that they thought, well, baby, this is it. This is as nice as we've ever seen. Look at all this fertile ground all around us, this little creek that flows by here and it comes into this bigger stream, and why we could put a water mill over here, and we could put a little dam in over here, and we can put up a mill, and we could call this town the Millers. Miller's Town, and so on and so forth. Well, when they got there, they only had what they had in the wagon. And anything and everything else that they had to rely on what the creator of the universe had provided for them right there. And the greatest sight, the best thing they could ever see was another wagon sailing into view. Because they know that those people were bringing along supplies and things that they could add to each other. And then more would come and more would come. All right? And eventually along would come those EJBs, those wandering Jews, those gypsies in their cart with all of the tin pots and pans and things. And they were a welcome sight, too. And then finally, eventually, a blacksmith would come to town. And now you'd really be something. It's self-reliance. self-reliance, not self-sufficiency, never happened. Even the mountain men, as rugged as they were, up into the mountains looking for beaver, trapping the beavers, you know, carrying their 50 caliber rifle or definitely a Green River knife in their possibles bag and so on and so forth. And they're up there. They had to get their traps and all that. But once a year, they'd come back down out of the mountains and they'd bring all their furs, all their pelts, and they'd go to Rendezvous, baby, and it would be a good time, and they would stock up on everything. Then they would go back in again and spend the winter self-reliant as mountain men. Self-reliant is a good goal. Self-sufficiency, a utopian pipe dream, sowed into the seeds, or into the minds of man by the communitarians, the communists, and the socialists to try and take us all off course. Accounting for Manufacturing, Chapter 24 out of Noble, Accounting Principles, 4th edition, Noble, a Southwestern Publishing Company textbook that I'm deeply invested in now with time. But we're talking about accounting for manufacturing being different from the accounting for the mercantilist. You know, the mercantilist comes with his, you know, the wandering Jew comes with his wagon full of all kinds of stuff, you know, pins and bobbins and yardage goods and things like that. And he's making a profit off the top of something that's already been manufactured, whereas the people that he's encountering there are bringing forth the natural resources. They've got timber, they've sawed lumber, they've, you know, mined, done mining, and they've got gold, and they've got silver and copper and other things to exchange. They've got wheat by the barrel full that they've grown and that they've milled right there. And so they exchange, they trade, they barter. But there's a big difference between accounting for the mercantilist and the accounting that's necessary for the manufacturer. And it's interesting in this book because he's using the right kind of language. He's using the language that I grew up understanding, language that made sense. And just in review from yesterday, he says, thus far, consideration has been given to the accounting procedures used by mercantile enterprises. Notice the word enterprises. And an enterpriser is that entrepreneur that gets involved and engages in an enterprise. The merchandise that these enterprises sell must be obtained from manufacturing concerns. Once again, this important word, concerns, is environmental and developmental concerns. These are businesses. And the manufacturing concerns like Cylinder that went broke and ought to be able to go broke, and Avesta, the wind turbine manufacturer, and General Electric and the rest of them, they're manufacturing concerns, they're companies, environmental and developmental concerns. The manufacturer employs labor, uses machinery in converting raw materials into finished goods, and in thus changing the form of the commodity, his activities differ from those of the merchandiser. Are changing the form of the commodity. Very important. So when we come back, we'll talk just a little bit more about accounting for manufacturing, and then we're going to continue our study of administrative law.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Flawless Science believes you deserve the right to have a long and healthy life. You deserve to have toxin-free air and water and foods rich in minerals and nutrients. Factory farming, genetically modified foods, and thousands of environmental contaminants are polluting our world and stripping your right to healthy life away from you. FlawlessScience.com helps you regain these rights.
FlawlessScience.com makes natural products and provides the best nutraceutical products to enhance your quality of life, your state of health, and well-being. So whether you're struggling with obesity, diabetes, hypertension, memory loss, allergies, high cholesterol, neuropathy, or to spice things up in the bedroom, FlawlessScience.com is here to help you. FlawlessScience.com ships quickly, worldwide, in discreet packaging, and will never sell your information to anyone for any reason. For all your wellness, weight control, extreme muscle building, and nutraceutical needs, visit FlawlessScience.com today.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so, as we mentioned yesterday in this discussion of manufacturing, the commodities purchased by a manufacturer are his raw materials, but they were finished goods to the manufacturer who sold them. So whether you're a miner and you're out there and you're, you know, got your pick and your axe and you're deep down in a hole and you're bringing up some kind of a mineral, when you bring them up and you run them through your process and you're ready to finally say, okay, these are as far as the miner can take them, I'm ready to sell them off to somebody else. Those are your finished product, but they become the raw material of the individual that you, or the enterpriser that you're going to exchange them with. Flour is a raw material to the baker, but it's a finished good to the miller. Steel plate is a raw material to the automobile manufacturer, but it's a finished good to the steel producer. The designation raw material or finished good has significance only in connection with a specific manufacturer and his relation to that commodity. Words are important. Words have meanings. And we need to understand that and keep it well in mind. You know, find a need and fill it. And you could be, you know, ready to, you know, supply a finished product that could become the raw material for the next person along that chain, whether that be a big block of chocolate ready for a shave and put on the top of a latte at your espresso corner or wherever and whatever. But in this process of accounting for manufacturing, where we see that there's a vast difference between accounting for a mercantile enterprise and a manufacturing concern, the complexities of these concerns starts to come into view. You know, when Dr. Ron Paul, you know, calls for an audit of the Fed, and then, you know, the CAFRA man comes out with the CAFRA videos and all that, Corporation Nation, I think it is, .com. Different things are going on there in each individual's mind. Yes, the CAFRA shows us a lot that we didn't know before, but still, when you're talking about a forensic audit, when you're talking about going in deep and getting all of the information, we have to understand that some of the things shown on an income statement or on a balance sheet, you know, the Fed's always talking about expanding their balance sheet. Well, unless you know what the subsidiary accounts are and the ledgers are and all of the various accounts, you're not looking at the whole picture. And I think what Dr. Paul intimates in his request for an audit is he wants to see the whole picture. You're going to start with some raw material, whether that be tax revenue, whether that be bonds, whether that be orders from Timmy Geithner or something from the Congress. or something from the executive branch. Only the Congress really has the authority to create that debt, indebtedness. But through the Treasury then, and the Treasurer, we have this process that starts. And we need to have access to all of the papers and all of the subsidiary accounts, all the things that have gotten closed into that fiscal year, or into that final, you know, fiscal period. And that is where things get to be really, really interesting. And from an accounting standpoint, in this textbook, and it is a textbook, a college-level textbook, a textbook that was written and designed for someone that would perhaps go on into business and finance, who would never again have a course in accounting. It wasn't like you could just go up on the Internet and go to Quicken or QuickBooks or some Outlook office program from Word or Windows or other whatever from Microsoft. I don't use any of that stuff, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've seen it on the Internet. The single inventory, well, let's back up. Each of the asset classifications on the balance sheet contains additional accounts as a result of the manufacturing function. Under current account or current assets, inventory accounts are added. Under fixed assets, new accounts for various kinds of machinery and equipment are shown. Under intangible assets, accounts with such assets as patents and copyrights may be reported. Under deferred charges, accounts with supplies and prepaid expenses that are characteristic of the factory are shown. The liability accounts of a manufacturing enterprise are less different, but even in this classification, there is greater likelihood of bonds payable, secured by mortgages, on the manufacturing plant. You know, Vicky called in the other day and wanted to know, well, when they set up these enterprise or these free trade zones, these are the foreign trade zones, FTZs, are these going to be trusts? Well, we'd have to go in and look. We'd have to look at all the documents, the charters that set up these corporations and find out how they were organized. You know, there's both an implied trust and then there's an express trust where it's just spelled out on paper. But nevertheless, going in and looking at the accounting structure would reveal far more necessarily than the original charter might show. And so there's a lot to that. And when we think about under current assets, they say inventory accounts are added. You know, all the things that you have to buy and keep track of. So there's quite a bit. Under fixed assets, they say here, new accounts for various kinds of machinery and equipment are shown. You know, you go out and you spend a lot of money on a big piece of equipment made by Caterpillar or something, maybe a stationary generator that's capable of providing backup power to the whole factory in the case of a Fukushima disaster. All right. You got this piece of equipment. There's going to be a concrete foundation, no doubt, involved on that. It's going to have to be housed in a building or take up space in another building. There's going to be depreciation in that. There's assets involved in that. There's the life of the piece of equipment itself and its depreciation schedule. There's all of the work that's involved in maintaining it and keeping it going. You know, a lot of the work in manufacturing today is tending for machines, tweaking and oiling and doing all that. They have a whole union class of oilers, you know, out there. So there's a lot of things that are going on there that when you drive by a big building, a factory, you don't see. But it's all that bottom line stuff that goes back to this idea of double entry bookkeeping that was created by the Medici, whom we've studied back at the time of the discovery of this continent again, you know, by Americus Vespucci, from whom we get our name, America. He was a Florentine. Cristobal's Colombo. I think he was from Genoa. Anyway, it all goes back to that time period. The Medicis, you know, they were then became popes. Pope Leo X and Pope Clement VII, the Medici. Money changers, money lenders, bankers, the bankers of the Europeans. And if they came up with this system of bookkeeping and accounting, my, if they were the first, and if they truly were the first, and they came up with this system, they would truly be masters, because when you start to look at all of the money and all of the way that you can play with accounting and your accounts, it makes the difference between winners and losers, and it separates the wheat from the chaff. So anyway, that goes back into administrating and being an administrator and having administrative law being under the executive branch. And just in review, briefly, from yesterday, we looked at the Black's Eighth Law Dictionary, where we came up with administrative law as a subhead in here, the law governing the organization and the operation of administrative agencies and the relations of administrative agencies with the legislature, the executive, the judiciary, and the public. And again, administrative law divided into three parts: the statutes, endowing agencies with their powers, and establishing rules of substantive law relating to those powers. All right? And that's important to understand those statutes. Remember, today most of them are copyrighted.
Statutes.
Look in the statutes for your state. Look down at the bottom of it. You'll see that they're all copyright. And then continuing, the body of agency-made law, consisting of administrative rules, regulations, reports, opinions, containing findings of fact and order. Three, the legal principles governing the acts of public agents when those acts conflict with private rights, which is where administrative law came on the board in the first place. Every time that they created one of these agencies, they knew that it was fraught with danger, that if they didn't do something to, you know, rein in these agencies, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the others built them up, that they were going to, you know, go right into trouble. And trouble indeed. And we'll continue this thread right after this break. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Thank you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here as we've blown into the last half hour of today's broadcast. And let's go right straight back to the telephones and go out to Idaho and say good morning to David.
Good morning. Tell me if you're getting feedback. My bias ply tires are a little bumpy on this cold fall day.
Yeah, I'm hearing a little background. Go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Your example of commodities, I saw this little example one day. It was a pyramid, and at the top it had this ideas. I'm going to pull over so it's quieter. On the top of it was ideas, and it was the narrowest part of the pyramid, or the smallest amount of storage.
Exactly.
Or wealth. Then the next one was job. You have to go back, continue to go back. Go back, go back. And then the next one was business. And then the next one after that was commodities. The next one after that was raw materials. And then the next one after that was land. And then land was the bottom of the pyramid. And it was quite an interesting example of the storage of wealth. And then there was a corresponding pyramid with that on the other side, which had at the top and this at the bottom, relationships. And it was really nice to hear you talk about the materials the way you did, and I'm just going to have to listen to that 10 more times to get it straight in my mind.
Well, you know, you started correctly when you start with ideas as opposed to relationship. I don't like to compromise my principles for a relationship, so I would set that pyramid aside entirely and stick with principles and just let relationship fall where it falls. But if you start at the top, you're absolutely right. It all starts with ideas. Remember our teaching on from Andrew J. Galambos, in his volitional science series, where he defines property as a man's a life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. And of course, ideas are that property that makes up his life. And then they define freedom as 100% control of your property, 100% of the time. And so we have our ideas, and it is out of those ideas from which everything else flows. And yeah, exactly. And at the bottom, underpinning it all, is land. And this is the difference. We've drawn the distinction before between this state and the state. In the state of Missouri, where, you know, the people of Missouri came together, and when they had enough people in this area, they then petitioned Congress to create a state. They wanted to institute a government amongst themselves. But these were the flesh and blood men on the land who could bend over and pick up a handful of dirt, a clod of dirt, a branch of wood, a rock or whatever. This was the real people on the real land. And then this state is an artificial entity, a creation, a person, artificial person, a corporate identity that overlays all of that. And when the people of the state on the land came in and said, this will be Missouri, they went out and they surveyed in a boundary where they could actually stick, you know, rocks in the ground to monument their corners. And the Bible says, you know, don't mess with another man's boundaries and all of that as well. So it becomes a really dynamic expression when we're in the state and we're on the land. But as soon as you go off into the world of ideas and relationships, which is this state, then it's a whole other can of garbage. But, yeah, good point, David.
You put together a beautiful tapestry of words that just flow every day and put it all together. And I just feel like I'm at the best place on earth when I'm listening to you.
Thank you very much for calling in, and thanks for sharing that. And I always appreciate hearing from the listeners, because sometimes I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just trying to convey these difficult things, you know, the best way that I can. But thanks for calling, David. And let's go on in a little bit further with this, because we do have a little bit further to go, and I want to get this done today. I want to close out this today, because we could spend weeks on administrative law, and I'm not the one. All right, I'm not the one. I want you to go and visit with Ralph Winterroot. I want you to go up and listen to Randy Kelton and Deborah Stevens, Rule of Law Radio, Axiom Radio with Kay Beach, and other people who have put a lot more energy into this branch and understand it far better than I do. I'm still a student when it comes down to administrative law. But here again, from secondary sources, like we learned from Deborah Bouchot in her book Legal Research and Writing for the Paralegal. This is a second considered secondary sources when we go to the dictionaries, when we go to the encyclopedias. Yesterday, CJS threw me off. It's the Corpus Juris Secundus. There's the AmJur, the American Jurisprudence. These are encyclopedias written by lawyers for lawyers based on case law, etc. But let's go on. Sources and problems of administrative law. Now, we saw yesterday that licenses played a big part in this, all right? It started out with liquor licensing and all that, and the creation of the Interstate Commerce Commission and Interstate Commerce, the Sherman Antitrust Act, Federal Trade Commission, Shipping Board Act of 1916, the 1920 Packers Act. These are all things that came in under administrative law, and remember that administrative law, these are these super social scientists, these unelected boards and councils that are set up to support the sovereign in this system, which is the FedGov, which is the executive branch of government. And that's what administrative law does. They support the administrator, Philip Drew, the administrator. So sources and problems of administrative law. If we describe, the author now goes on in this Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, 1930, if we describe administrative law as the law of official power, office holders, do they have an oath of office? Have they filed a bond? Or are they just themselves actors on the big stage, actors and stakeholders? If we describe administrative law as the law of official power and of its subjection to judicial control, so again, you go up and you visit with Mr. Graves, the jurisdictionary. He's going to show you the rules of civil procedure. He'll show you the rules of criminal procedure. There is some remedy available to us in that avenue. But again, this is the law of official power and its subjection to judicial control. We also indicate, and all the judicial does, they don't rule on whether it's global warming or not. All they can do is just nullify these regulations or nullify the statutes. They just nullify, make them a nullity. And remember from legal positivism that a law, whatever the prince says, has the force and effect of a law. And any law, anything that the prince says is law becomes law. However, a law that cannot be enforced will not be enforced, and an unenforceable law is no law at all. That's memory work there. It goes back to my copybooks. But on the, okay, so once again, if we describe administrative law as the law of official power and of its subjection to judicial control, we also indicate its two principal phases and aspects. All right, one, two. Its two principal phases and aspects. On the one hand, the law is concerned with statutory provisions and their construction. So in this revelation that I had, there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law that in the rise of statism, that's your executive, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. So we're right in on top of administrative law in that statement. All right. And on the one hand, the law is concerned with statutory provisions and their construction. And the judges will say, hey, you've done this wrong. This is null and void. Forget about it. Or, on the other hand, with common law principles of remedial law, official liability, extraordinary legal remedies, equitable jurisdiction. So you've got this balancing act that's going on here. The common law principles of remedial law. And from that, you could go back and listen to some of the common law lawyers that are out there to help fill in those blanks. Maybe Edward Vieira, for instance, and other constitutional lawyers. But the common law also enters into statutory construction, and legislation is controlled by the constitutional principle of due process. And we found that this system was questioning due process. All right? When things are not proceeding to the course of the common law, one has to ask, is this due process in administrative law? Calls it to question. But common law also enters into the statutory construction, and legislation is controlled by the constitutional principle of due process. If we don't have due process, we've lost it all. It's just as important as the consideration of, according to all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. If you take that Creator out of our discussion, if you take away the Declaration of Independence, which is the actual frame upon which all of our constitutions have been built, the whole idea of a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government goes right out the window. We have no more any access to our system of protections, our constitutional limitations. All of that is gone. It's swept away. You've got to keep the Creator in there, which is why, for the last 100 years, there has been such an intense drive to drive the idea or the notion of a God and the Bible out of our minds, because they have transformed our system of government. We'll be right back.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Introducing the world's first and only Swiss Gold Savings Plan, specifically designed to be simple and affordable for families worldwide. This is the best way to trade rapidly depreciating paper money for gold. Our product is 999.9% fine Kinnebar-grade gold ingots, refined in weights as small as 0.5 gram, and embedded into a protective card. Finally, everybody can afford to protect themselves with gold. And, best of all, you now have a zero-cost, zero-obligation, once-in-a-lifetime golden opportunity to earn true wealth by sharing this plan with others. Until now, available only to the Europeans, the program has just opened in the U.S. and Canada and is experiencing explosive growth. When you have everything to gain and nothing to lose, you owe it to yourself to at least check it out. For full details, please go to www.SwissGoldByTheGram.com or click on our banner ad on the OracleBroadcasting.com website. They say timing is everything, and your timing is perfect.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Well, this is just too important to rush through it too fast. I'm going to slow down a hair bit. We'll have to continue it again tomorrow. But go back to due process of law for a minute. Out of the Black's Fourth Law Dictionary here. Law, due process of law. Law in its regular course of administration through courts of justice. Okay, administrative law. Law in its regular course of administration through courts of justice. Now, in a side note here, talks about the law of land, due course of law, and due process of law as being synonymous. The essential elements of due process of law are notice and the opportunity to be heard and to defend the orderly proceeding adapted to the nature of the case. And the guarantee of due process requires that every man have protection of day in court and benefit of general law. You set that aside, my friends, and the whole system is gone, and they are working. When I say they, I'm talking about the collective global community. They are doing all they can to wipe it out of our memory. We have got to have access to the Declaration of Independence for our system to work. It was built upon it. You look at the laws of nature and nature's God, you look at equality in there, and it talks about being self-evident. It's self-evident. It doesn't need to have some, guy in a black robe that's sitting up on a dais looking down his glasses, you know, at you, in order to tell you about nature and equality. These are self-evident, all right? And equality is not the same as equal. Any child could tell you that two leaves are not the same, or two snowflakes are not the same, or two blades of grass, or two grasshoppers. There's nothing equal, no, not one. But equality is a little different. And things are self-evident, all right? But we need to have the representation, we have to have separation of powers, we have to have limited government, and all those are laid out in the Declaration. And then, in all of the several states, all of our constitutions, they're brought into greater and greater detail. And for one purpose, and that is to create a firewall, to put limitations on what we know. You know, George Washington said government, you know, is like a useful servant, a fearful master, faithful servant, he's a fearful master. We need to have government, a well-run organization, well-run business. You don't just let all the employees do whatever willy-nilly and then you'll get the checkbook out and pay them. No. You've got to ride herd on it. You ride herd on your cattle, too. You ride herd on your land. A farmer's boot heels are the best fertilizer. The rancher is the best conservationist we know. We don't need the government to interfere with any of that thing. It's not their business. So back in, and continuing a little bit more on this, sources and problems of administrative law, again, but common law also enters into statutory construction. And if we got these boners down in Washington and in your state house who are sitting down, you know, in the legislative bill drafting agencies, and they're writing up creating things like the Patriot Act and creating the Department of Homeland Security, obviously they're not starting from the foundation of the common law. They're starting from some kind of form of legal positivism, whereas whatever the prince says has the force and effect of law. Provided, however, that the system relies upon your voluntary compliance. And when we say, hell no, I'm not going, you know, then they have to rethink their think. They have to back up and try it again. Then they have to take it into the Montessori schools. They've got to work it out, you know, beginning with the children, the sons and daughters, and they need to inculcate their minds with these negative, you know, things like globalism environmentalism, you know, Greenpeace and the rest of those clowns, all right? They got to start at the very earliest age. And they have to transition away from, respect and marvel of the Creator, where we begin to all of a sudden start worshiping the creation. Now, it's like the Pope wearing his green beanie, you know, the green Pope, right? But common law also enters into statutory construction. And legislation is controlled by the constitutional principle of due process, to which the exercise of power over private rights must conform. Now, if anyone was sitting down and writing an encyclopedia article today and wrote that, the editors would probably reject the article. But in the 1930s, when we still had gold and silver at our fingertips, we still had honest weights and measures, we still had a medium of exchange that held its own head up and hadn't carried no burden of debt, well, you could write things like this. And that's why I like to go here, because it's refreshing for me to read the writings of the people. You know, we talk about, oh, well, we can't do that. You know, the laws of nature, nature's God. Oh, I mean, there's no God. Well, remember Thomas Jefferson said, you know, it doesn't pick my pockets or break my legs if my neighbor has one God or 20 gods. As long as he keeps all of his gods over there in his place and lets me live over here, we can get along. This is America. It's a whole different place. All right. But again, it's the constitutional principle of due process to which the exercise of power over private rights must conform. These are our checks and balances, all the way down to the lowest level, to the most individual, or perhaps we should say to the highest power, the original sovereign, we the people. Governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not to give Janet Napolitano free rein in our lives. All right? They've got the court, the donkey and the cart in the wrong order. It's neither necessary nor profitable to determine how much of administrative law rests on legislative and how much on judicial action. Right? So we're not going to pick nits here, being neither necessary nor profitable to determine how much of administrative law rests on legislative and judicial, but we just need to realize and understand the relationship that both of those have on it. The main problems of administrative law relate to the nature and the operation of official powers. What is the nature and the operation of official powers when your local municipality has some kind of, they've gone in and they've signed up for the International Code Council's body of model codes and model acts, and they've signed off on and they've created an ordinance implementing the International Property Maintenance Code in your town. They've done that recently here in Cassville. And what a travesty. It's got the people up in arms, and rightly so. I mean, that sort of stuff might work out in the Bronx, but you do it out in Missouri, and don't expect the ranchers to sit by and do nothing. All right, they're going to come out, and the hats are going to be on, and the rodeo buckles, you know, and their Western sports coats, and they're going to come out, and the Cadillacs are going to fill the parking lot. All right? You got people who got thousands of acres of land. They don't want to be bothered with this International Property Maintenance Code. All right? The formal and procedural conditions for the exercise of power. The main problems, again, of administrative law relate to the nature and the operation of official powers. Permits and orders. Ministerial and discretionary. Scope of discretion and legitimacy of underlying considerations. Those are some of the parentheticals that he's included here. The formal and the procedural conditions for the exercise of powers, official and communal liability. That goes back to the discussion a little bit that I included there from Frederick Bastiat so that you don't misunderstand when we say communal liability. We all have a certain liability to our community. I prefer to say our precincts, our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states. We do live here too, one with another. Unless we want to devolve into a Thomas Hobbes Leviathan, where all men are at war against all men, then government must be instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and property. All right? Going to have it. Like it or not, no man's an island. We're self-reliant, not self-sufficient. The specific remedies for the judicial control of administrative action, this is legal, equitable, and statutory, judicial limitations of powers and the questions of administrative finality. Who's going to custodian the custodian? It goes back to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and Brave New World Revisited. After 20,000 hours of social sciences, you get one of these social scientists that graduate out of the universities with no practical experience. And now you find themselves as the economic development director in your town, and they're involved in this process of jacking up the utility rates. And they, again, public utilities comes under administrative law. They're in there. They're working in your town. They're altering the relationship that you have with your property. At what point and where do we draw the line on the question of administrative finality? To whom do you appeal an administrative judgment? Is there an appeal to it? Or is this just the legal positivism of a prince? Machiavelli. Read it. Machiavelli, the prince. Again, Florentines, Medici time period. The constitutional problems of administrative law relate to its delegability or of legislative power. Delegating power. And so Congress comes in and they say, oh, well, this sounds really good. This will be the ticket. All of our lobbyists said that this is what they want. So that, you know, and this is the Chamber of Commerce is the lobbyists here. And so this is what they've passed. Well, how does that delegation of legislative power work out where you are? We're out of time. I'll be back again tomorrow. We'll continue the discussion then. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.